session number 10455, rule 3.
The LCMs, the front used to drop down of a ramp and we used to drive down with the trucks or the guns behind. We dispensed with the limbers by then, as I said earlier.
Did you ever land under fire?
No.
Why was that?
Luck, I suppose. We landed where they weren't.
Luck rather than good planning?
Well, we never knew exactly where they were going to be. I mean, we knew there were some in the area, but you didn't know exactly where they were. And, of course, you didn't have any undercover, not a lot of undercover work.
I get the impression that you weren't sustaining any casualties in the Burma campaign in the 8th Field Regiment.
Well, there were 700 went in and 200 came out. But, of course, I don't know whether you realise that 95% of casualties were sickness. I think, to start with, but it dropped later. After we started taking... We took the cure for malaria all the time, you see. Mepocrine tablet, one every day. The NCO stood by while you did it, while you took it.
Did any people try to avoid taking it?
Well, I mean, you used to line up and the sergeant or the sergeant major used to bring them round and give them to you and he stood there while you took it.
So you said you were talking about after Kangor, the sequence of events as it concerned you after Kangor. Can you take it further on?
Well, we did two or three more landings. It was just jungle when you pulled off the beach and into a clearing. No villages or anything. And until we'd landed at this place called Ruiwa. And there we went up and we put down a barrage because we were there with no infantry. We landed and the Japs were between us and the West Africans and we put down a barrage on the Japs so the West Africans could fight their way out to get down to the coast, come out, because they'd been going down the Caledan Valley right down... I think it was the 82nd West African division. That was the Gold Coast one. See, the 81st was not mainly Nigerian, and the 82nd was Gold Coast. And having got them out, we pulled out. We thought we were going back to India, but we went into Ramri, as I said, and we relieved this... other regiment, I think it was the 161st field.
What condition were they in?
Well, about the same as us. They had better guns. I think they had flash eliminators on the muzzles of their guns. And we had, we'd gone in with second-hand guns with no history sheets. So we didn't know how much they'd done, but we must have fired, well, don't know, thousands. The only thing I remember about ammunition was, I think it was when we were at Letmalk, and the Battle of the Bulge took place in Europe.
December 1944. December 44, January 45.
Could have been, yes. Well, they came round and they took all our ammunition except 5 rounds of gun to fly it back to Europe. Because I think what had happened there, they got a bit complacent and thought it was all over. And so we had five rounds of gun. But we didn't want it, so it's all right.
What number field regiment did you say you relieved?
I think, well, I'm only speaking from memory, I think it was a 161. I understood, they would be a territorial regiment as high up as that. A larger number as that.
Then what happened after Ramree?
Well, we sort of rested up there a bit. And we went to the pictures once or twice on the airstrips. Saw Betty Grable once. The Air Force, of course, always had cinemas with them. Used to set up a screen in the middle of an airstrip in the dark, and some would sit in front and some behind. If you sat behind, everybody was left-handed.
How long did you rest for?
Don't really know. But from there we got on to the bigger landing craft then, the LSTs. They were quite big boats with the bows that opened like a modern ferry. And went to Rangoon. We were supposed to land at a place called Sirium up the Rangoon River. But by that time, of course, the prisoners of war had written their famous words, extract digit, on the jail roof. And so we actually went right in and pulled up beside the quay and unloaded onto the docks.
Did you see these famous words on the roof?
No, no. And then
it means get a move on, in other words.
Well, it is
sort of.
It means take your finger out, which is an army expression. And of course, the Air Force, they had to be a little bit more, little bit more different. And then we billeted on the race course for a bit. So I can tell you when that was. It's not got the date on it. But that was a VE Day Thanksgiving in Rangoon Cathedral.
It says 26th Indian Division, St. Gabriel's Church, Rangoon.
Yes.
Special service of thanksgiving, dedication and prayers. And it starts off with, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Then a bidding prayer. Then another hymn, all people that on earth do dwell. Then three lessons from Isaiah, St. Luke and Revelation, then another hymn, O God, our help in ages past, then the Apostles' Creed, prayers, the Lord's Prayer, then general thanksgiving, followed by an address, then now thank we all our God, O Trinity of love and power, the national anthem and the blessing.
That was thanksgiving for VE Day, which was June, wasn't
it? You attended this?
Yes.
With all your unit?
Yes.
And who else?
Well, the British troops went in. Indian troops actually guarded were on guard around the outside in case of any sudden infiltration.
Were there any Japanese
we didn't know.
As it turned out that there weren't?
Well, no, we didn't see any.
Was Rangoon much damaged?
Yes, fairly. The trolley bus wires were down. The streets were littered with Japanese money.
Useless.
Well, I tell you what. We walked about in Rangoon, and I went up to the Schwaber Dragon Pagoda, and walking up the steps to it, there was the usual bazaar stalls, and I thought I'd like a souvenir, and I bought a little ivory comb off a trader, and he wanted 10,000 Japanese rupees for it, or 100 Indian rupees. But I'd happened to pick up an old 5-rupee Burmese note, and he was quite pleased to take that. So I bought a comb, brought it home for a wife.
which you've still got?
No, I think my daughter's got it now, because I'm a widower.
So I was asking about damage in Rangoon. Did you see much?
Well, the docks had been pretty well plastered, but we went up, we got the guns off and went up onto the race course, which was the grandstands were all intact because we slept under the seats in the under the grandstands for a bit.
What kind of reception did you get from the inhabitants of Rangoon? Were they pleased to see you or not?
Well, I think so, yes. I think they were pretty numb after having been under the Japs for so long. Oh, we've got something here. Well, we stayed on the race course for a little while, and then we went up inland because the 4th Corps was then coming down from Mandalay towards Rangoon and driving some Japs before them. And so we went up. I don't know how far the infantry went up, but we went up to the old British barracks at Ming-a-de-Long.
Ming-a-de-Long?
M-I-N-G-A-L-A-D-O-N. And we slept in the married quarters. And that was the first roof I'd had over my head for 15 months.
So it must have seemed like luxury to you.
Oh, yes.
Did you take part in the attempt to prevent the Japanese escaping from the Pegu Yomas?
No, because after this, what happened, the 26th Div pulled back to India, went back to Bangalore, where they'd been before, and in effect, about half the army pulled out, and some divisions stayed in, but they called them the 12th Army, and they were mopping up and went on down the strip beyond beyond Rangoon to clear up.
The southeastern strip of Burma.
Yeah, right down the little narrow strip down beyond Rangoon. But we went back to reinforce and re-equip for Malaya, of course.
Which never came off for you?
No, they dropped some bombs.
What was the reaction when you heard about Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
We got paralytic.
Drunk?
Drunk.
With relief?
Yeah.
Having taken part in the Burma campaign, what's your reflection now on having participated in it all these decades later? Do you think it was all worthwhile or not?
Well, the point is, it's a British trait, isn't it, to win the war and lose the peace. I still avoid all Japanese goods that I possibly can. Because I have a theory, you see, that if everybody had bought British cars and motorcycles and not let the Japanese in, there wouldn't be the unemployment problem we've got now.
What was your attitude towards the Japanese during the campaign? What was your attitude towards the Japanese enemy?
We hated them.
For what reason?
Well, I suppose a variety of reasons. They were keeping us out there in the prime of our life. And of course we'd heard about the Burma Railway.
You knew about that, did you?
Yes.
Before the war ended?
Yeah.
Was that common knowledge in the army in Burma?
Well, we used to get these we used to have these little talks. General Slim, as he was then, had this idea that even the lowest private should know what was going on, and so they used to pass down this intelligence, you see, and they used to GPO used to come round to the gun crew and just tell us sort of more or less what was going on.
What did they tell you about the condition of the POWs on the railway?
They didn't know, but they knew that they were working on the that there were thousands of prisoners working up on the railway. And of course it came home to me when I eventually came home, because we had a party of them on the boat.
Can you tell me about them?
Well, a 6 foot man weighing about 5 stone. We didn't see much of them. Most of them were in the sick bay. But we only saw them really when they went off, because we landed at Liverpool about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and all their relatives were there to meet them, and they let them off that night to see their relatives, the prisoners we got with us. We stayed on and didn't go out off until the next morning.
Did you think that was fair enough?
Yeah. The only thing we didn't think was fair, there was a dock strike on and we had to unload our own kit, which we thought was a bit off. I mean, we'd been fighting for a couple of bob a day, and the dockers had been drawing I don't know how much wages, and they wanted more, and they couldn't even unload our kit when we come home after about 3 years.
Did you see any of the dockers to exchange pleasantries
with? No. Well, I don't know whether you know Liverpool.
A little.
Well, we landed at Prince's Dock, and you just sort of walked across the quay onto the platform, into the train. That was in November 45. I eventually got home.
I think you've got a funny story.
Mm. Well, when we were going down the Mayu Peninsula, as I said, we went down the sand when the tide was out. Well, the standard dress, I think I better say this, the standard dress for the gunners was a bush hat, a pair of KD shorts rolled up as far as possible, socks and boots. And we looked nearly as brown as the Indians, apart from where the shorts were. Well, after we'd taken up position back in the jungle, they used to allow a quarter at a time to go down to the sea to have a wash. And we were all in the sea having a little bathe, and three lorries came down the sand, and it wasn't until they'd gone by that we realised it was an ENSA party. And a night or two later we went to a concert by this ENSA party, and Elsie and Doris Waters were there, and they were having their usual patter, and one said to the other, "I do like these little white shorts that they issued, bathing trunks that they issue to the troops out here." Which got a big laugh.